Today's gospel reading is a wedding celebration. Wedding celebrations are always fun events. The young couple is there. Jesus is invited. We're told he didn't crash the party. It's probably an event with family members or extended family of Jesus. Cana's not too far from Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. Today's gospel reading is Jesus at this wedding of Cana. It's the third day our reading begins. Jesus is a guest at a wedding. It's the start of his ministry. We find Jesus is here with disciples. Here's the events, right, of that wedding in Cana. It's the wedding reception party, which was a big deal in the ancient world. The wine runs out. There's no wine. The open bar has closed. This is not only a problem for making merry at a happy event, it's also, think about it, shameful. It's embarrassing for the host of the party, embarrassing for the families of this newly married couple to run out of wine on their wedding day. It looks cheap. It looks dishonorable. What does this have to do with me, these little problems of no wine? In a sense, that's what Jesus says to his mother, Mary. Mary has informed Jesus, who's not the one getting married here, right? Jesus, who started his ministry, this rabbi with his disciples, informed Jesus that they're out of wine. Mary, Jesus' mother, says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. John's gospel is full of signs that point to greater realities. It's a little helpful to have some of this background information in John's gospel. John's gospel begins with the Word of God who made all things, who seeks to bring the truth of God's grace to light in Christ. So a little shining of that light here. The hour in John's gospel refers to the hour of Jesus' glory, his death, his resurrection. Jesus is lifted up on the cross for the sins of the world. It includes his death, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven. That's his hour. That's go time for Jesus. Remember, this is the start of Jesus' ministry. He has a while to go of teaching and healing before he gives his life on the cross for our lives, the lives of the world. But you notice what Jesus does here. Jesus, being an obedient son, listens to his mother. Mary comes to Jesus for help. There's no wine. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. All involved are going to talk. Mary calls on Jesus privately to love his neighbor. Jesus, the obedient son, not only honors his mother, right? He keeps the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. He also honors his neighbors. He makes wine out of water. Jesus keeps the commandments of God, all of them. He keeps them perfectly. He's the obedient one after all. Jesus says a little later in John's gospel that he loves his heavenly Father and does exactly what God his Father commands, Jesus the obedient Son. John 3:16, God the Father sent his Son Jesus that all who would believe in him not perish but have eternal life. As it says in the end of John's gospel, these things are written, all of them, that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in Jesus, we would have life in his name, eternal life. Well, back to the wedding of Cana. Jesus orders the servants to fill jars with water. Once full, the jars become full of wine. When the master tastes this, the one who is responsible for organizing it all, he didn't know where it came from. The master of the feast, what does he do? He calls over the bridegroom, who is probably clueless at this point too, maybe a little fearful of the wine running out. The bridegroom, who would be ashamed to know the wine was out. And Jesus has got the master of ceremonies to compliment the bridegroom, who says everyone to the bridegroom serves the good wine first. When the people have drunk freely, then you get the poor wine. But you've kept the best till now. The miracle of saving this goodness, or the best till last, is a sign, John tells us. a sign that points more than just to a wedding, a sign that points to Jesus and what he signifies in our lives. Our gospel reading today ends with these words. This is the first of the signs, if we're paying attention to the signs, Jesus did at Cana that revealed or manifested or embodied his glory. His disciples believed in him. It's a sign. We'll look a little more closely, right, at the two signs from our reading today that points to significance of our lives in Jesus. First, there's the sign in Christ of blessing our neighbor. And second, there's the sign in Christ of a beautiful future. First, the sign of Christ blessing our neighbor. Jesus blesses his neighbor. In our gospel reading, right at the wedding of Cana, there's a problem, no more wine. There's the bigger problem, no more party. There's the larger problem, the embarrassment, the shame for the host starting a marriage with this blemish. Even though his hour has not yet come, meaning it's not yet time for his big moment of death and resurrection, his saving the world from sin, Jesus still fulfills the request of a young couple, the request of his mother. He fulfills the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Jesus fulfills that law and guides us to live fulfilling lives by honoring parents, by honoring our neighbors. What's the sign here, right? The bigger picture, the fourth commandment. It begins the second table of the law. Two parts of the law, right? Our relationship with God, the first commandments, and then the second half, our relationship with others. And the first of that second half of the commandments, our relationship with others, begins in the home. Begins where we learn about loving one another and forgiving one another. Honor your mother and your father, that it may go well with you in life. The first commandment to focus on our neighbor begins in the home. Jesus begins his ministry right there in a family moment. With our family, we follow the commandments, right? We learn to love our neighbors through loving our first neighbors. Jesus has learned this commandment to honor his father and mother at home. Jesus is the one who keeps this commandment, who listens to his mother. In our gospel reading today, Jesus listens to her, provides for neighbors in need. Jesus provides the wine, the good times. He can be bothered. He can be for you and for me. Jesus gives honor to a nearly shamed family at a wedding. He serves his neighbor. Here is the sign, right, of Christ blessing our neighbor. It's the start of a ministry. The wine is full again, the wedding part of full of happiness. And what's the sign of something greater here, right? What's the significance? Well, to have a fulfilling life, if you really want to have a fulfilling life, means blessing our neighbors in Christ. It means keeping that commandment of honoring our mother and father, not just by living for ourselves, our own needs, but for the needs of others. It starts in the home, but extends, like in our story, to others. It extends just as through Jesus our gospel reading extends. Who is bearing the weight of shame or pain, right? Whose good times that we know have run dry right now? Where can we be bothered a little bit? Where can we provide them with grace and mercy in Jesus? If I think about it, if we think about it, won't we find someone? Hasn't Jesus provided an opportunity for us to live for others in Christ? Our lives become signs of his significance, his power, his goodness to heal and save. That's a first lesson, right, in our gospel reading. Jesus blesses us to be a blessing to our neighbor. It's no coincidence. He starts his ministry with the start of our commandments to our neighbors. It begins at home from there. And second, in our gospel reading, Jesus blesses us with a beautiful future. There's a little hint of this in our gospel reading today. Right at the beginning, did you catch the little hint? John is full of hints, little symbols, little significance. It says, on the third day, our gospel reading begins. On the third day, there was a wedding feast at Cana. The hour of Jesus, remember in our gospel reading, points to Jesus' death and resurrection. to see the big picture significance of this all, our lives here in time and in eternity in Christ, it would read perhaps like this: on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead. Isn't that what we say every Sunday? On the third day, for our sake, Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. He rose again on the third day. The Bible repeatedly refers to the resurrection life of Christ as a third day and as a wedding party. And it all comes together here in a little sneak preview at the start of Jesus' ministry. On the third day, on that day of a sneak preview of Easter, on a day of a preview of heaven, the wedding feast to come, as the Bible so often puts it, a little sneak preview in a couple, which is a sign of God's presence here, breaking into a world that's thirsty to be fulfilled in Christ, the fullness of this eternal life in Christ. It's not yet come totally to us, but even so, aren't there moments, signs of this joy, this promise, even here and now? Just like at the wedding feast at Cana was a moment of joy for everyone there. Signs pointing to a beautiful future in Christ. What is that beautiful future for us? There's a lot of anxiety about the future, the unknown, right? But our future in Christ is secure. Jesus starts his ministry by pointing to a future that's secure. All of the signs of John's gospel are written that we would believe in Jesus, that we have eternal life, abundant life, secure life forever. That we're reminded and renewed by this reality every day of our lives. There's a lot to go through each day. This couple will see its ups and downs. Just like at the wedding at Cana, there are pressures. There are moments of panic. There's shame and need. And into the middle of the messiness of this wedding party about to fall apart, and into the middle of your life and my life, oh, we need it the most, right in that middle, Jesus is there. Just like Mary says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. He'll take care of it. Jesus speaks words of presence. He speaks words of abundant life to us. How does John put it a little later on? My sheep hear my voice. They know me, I know them. And I, Jesus, give them eternal life. They never will perish. Amen.